What obstacles do applicants face on the way to medical school acceptance? How do they overcome them? Let's find out how today's guest did it as he prepares to join the med school class of 2024.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this, the 361st episode of Admissions Straight Talk. Before we meet our guest today, I want to invite you to Accepted's next webinar for medical school applicants. Drum roll, please. Accepted consultant Alicia McNeese-Namankar will present Create a Winning MCAS Application on April 27th at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. The name pretty much says it all, but Alicia will explore with you how to create an engaging personal statement, AC activities, write about your most meaningful experiences, as well as manage the whole process. Reserve your spot at accepted.com/361webinar. Again, that's accepted.com/361webinar. Our guest today, Zachary Donato, is happily anticipating the start of medical school. I'm going to let Zach tell most of his story, but here's a little bit of background. He graduated from Emory University in 2018 with a major in neuroscience and behavioral biology. He is currently pursuing a master's in biomedical science from the University of Miami, and this summer, he will start medical school. Zach, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Cool. Well, first of all, congratulations on your acceptance. Before we get into the interview, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you grew up, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I actually was born in a small town in Virginia called Roanoke. I lived there until about five. And then we actually ended up moving to Denver, Colorado. So I was raised very outdoorsy. You know, I was hiking all the time, biking, running, you name it, outdoor activity, I probably tried it. So I grew up in Colorado. Then I went to Emory undergrad, like you said, and pursued my degree in neuroscience there. So kind of been all around.
Yeah, you have seen different parts of the country, that's for sure. Yeah. How did you decide to pursue a career in medicine?
Yeah, so I think the main thing was during my high school career, my AP biology class. So kind of up until that point, I was all over the place. I was taking business classes and just trying to envision myself doing different things. And I would say my teacher, my AP biology teacher, really kind of inspired me and kind of reignited like a passion for me to pursue a scientific career. Nothing got me as excited as when I was doing the labs in biology or just learning new concepts. I felt like nothing I've ever felt before. So I knew I wanted a career in the sciences, and that kind of led me down the path of, okay, maybe medicine is something I should consider.
So the sciences could be a career in research, pharma. Right. How about right. clinical medicine? Where did you right. get the appetite for that?
Yeah, so I actually, that next summer, I ended up volunteering in the post-anesthesia recovery unit at a hospital in Denver. And I think as I started kind of getting familiar with patient care and listening to patient stories, I think that really excited me in a way that I was intrigued with. And I realized that I could do a lot of little things to make a patient's experience much better. And I kind of wanted to keep doing that. So I kind of kept exploring the medical field.
Oh, that's great. Okay, good. Now, was your 2019-2020 application your first medical school application?
No, that was my second. So I actually applied 2018-2019 first.
Okay. And what do you think contributed to your rejection the first time around?
So I think one of the things that applicants really struggle with is getting the whole picture together, right? So you have your letter of recs, you have your personal statement, you have your activities, but how can you put that into one really nice picture of yourself? And so I think, first of all, my letter of recs, I think I kind of rushed to get them. I think a lot of times students struggle getting close to people, especially with undergrad. You have so many people in your classes. So I think I really struggled doing that. And I think my personal statement really didn't reflect who I was and my journey. I think I told a lot of nice things, but it wasn't about my story. So I think that's really where I struggled the first time.
And what do you think you did differently the second time that made the difference?
I think, honestly, preparation, right? So you have to be ready for everything the day that AMCAS application comes out. So submitting on the first day, I submitted on the first day. Getting the personal statement to be my story and then having the activities backing up what I say about my story. So I think, you know, being able to do that and then, you know, getting close with the faculty at UM, really developing those relationships and doing a lot to show my commitment to the medical field.
Did you pursue the master's as a post-bac to improve your, or was that part of the idea behind it?
Yeah, I think I kind of needed to reinvent myself a little bit just because I think college, I struggled. My GPA wasn't great. I was a very, honestly, even below average applicant. And I think I kind of rushed that first application. But I think that year was really meant to show medical schools, look, I can do it. You know, I can take medical school level courses and I can be successful. And I think that's something they really needed to see from me.
Okay. So it was a comment. Did you also retake the MCAT or your MCAT was okay?
Yeah, I actually ended up taking the MCAT 3 times.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Third time's a charm?
Yep, third time's a charm.
All right. So you worked on your MCAT. You worked on your academic, your grades. You improved your presentation via your application. So you really did a whole number on it.
Yeah. And I really had to, because I think there are just so many areas where I'm like, look, this is not, doesn't line up here. I really need to show in multiple areas that I'm constantly working and improving. And I think that's something they really consider as well.
Sure. What was the hardest part of the application process for you?
I think the hardest part was just learning how to do the application, honestly. Like there are so many, like, you know, you have to send your transcripts and you have to do this and just the timing of everything. I had no idea what was going on. So I think being organized and just trying to have all the information at hand, having my secondaries written and just having the time frame of everything, I think was the hardest part for me and just getting everything together. I think, you know, the actual application is pretty straightforward, but I think the organization aspect was really like something that I never had to do quite like that before.
I think that's a great point. There are so many moving parts to a medical school application. Before you even start the applying, there's grades and classwork. There's clinical exposure. There might be research. There's community service and leadership. And then you get into the application. All right, the primary application is relatively straightforward, but not completely so. Obviously, there's the MCAT, which can throw anybody for a loop. And once you get those okay, well, you submit the primary and then you have the secondaries and they come in a deluge. And time management there is critical.
Absolutely.
So I think your point is extremely well taken. How did you approach the primary application? I mean, what was your goal, if you will? I mean, you said you took a much more thoughtful approach the second time.
I think I just needed to convey the story I needed to convey. And the personal statement, I think everyone has this idea that it needs to take the full word count or, you know, have everything I've ever done in my entire life. No, it needs to focus on you and what you've done to lead up to why you should be a medical student. And so, you know, I just think I had a concise statement about me, who I was, and they could see that when they read that. And then I kind of made sure that each of my activities and my most important activities, for sure, kind of fit in with that personal statement. And when I reread it that second time, I'm like, wow, like this is an applicant who has all the moving parts, but also you could see the sum of those parts. You know, the first time it was like, here's an experience all the way over here, over here, over here, but how did it come together in the right way? And I think that's something that really like stood out to me the second time.
Also earlier in the call, you said that the application is like a picture of you, a photo of you, and you're 100% right. Will agree with that. And the metaphor that I like to use, it's a jigsaw puzzle and every piece creates the whole picture.
Absolutely.
It fits in, dovetails. Yep. That's the ideal. And apparently you achieved it. How many schools did you end up applying to both first time and second time?
Yeah. So the first time I applied to 33 schools and the second time I actually ended up applying to 28. And well, a little bit about that, actually. I think another thing to consider is you don't have to apply to 60 schools. I know a lot of friends who applied like literally everywhere you could possibly apply. And I think another thing that I kind of learned throughout this is just, you know, the school has a mission fit. If you look on AMSAR, the medical school admissions requirements, and you look at their mission fit, they have a mission statement that they're looking for students with particular assets, right? If I didn't do a lot of research and I'm applying to a school that's very research heavy, there's already a, there's no, it doesn't matter what my personal statement says, the fit's not there. So I think that's something that I had to go through the second time as well.
That sounds like you did it well and you did it smart. How did you stay on top of the secondaries? And what do you believe is key to success with secondaries?
Yeah, so the secondaries are honestly, I think, the most important part of the app process. And I say this because, you know, everyone submits a primary, you know, you're saying who you are at the surface and all that. The secondaries is a way for you to really stand out and convince a school that you're the best fit for them. And so what I personally did, there's actually a certain website, if you even type in like secondary essays, there's a database that has from A to Z all the schools and their past secondary questions. So even though some schools change from year to year, you can get a good idea of what the school is going to ask you, right? Thinking about some, whether it's an ethical scenario or just why this school. I think beyond that, you just have to plan for, can I say something about this school beyond just, oh, I'd really love to go to your school because it looks great. And I think it's a great school and I want to be in medical school, you know? So diving deep into your connection with that school, I think is important.
It's critical. Absolutely critical. Did you pre-write secondary so that when they came, you had already had some drafts ready, or did you just have a spreadsheet of everything? I mean, what did you do to stay on top of it?
Yeah, no. So the spreadsheet was very important, keeping track of which secondaries I sent in already and where I was with everything. But yes, I did pre-write. So the second I turned in those primary apps, I knew I had about a couple weeks and I went in and I pre-wrote those secondaries. And I think if you have those ready, there's so much stress off your shoulders already.
Right. That's a great idea. And how many schools did you interview at?
So I ended up interviewing at 3 this cycle. So,
all right, great. Yeah. And you're still waiting to hear from a couple. That's why we're not revealing where you were accepted, because you're still waiting right. to hear from some, right?
Right. So right. I'm still okay. waiting.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. What are your plans for between now and the start of medical school?
Yeah. So I've actually been working right now. I'm trying to save up a little bit of money because obviously I'm going to be very devoid of that in a couple of months. So I've been actually working. I got my EMT license. I've been working as an EMT, so kind of keeping the clinical experience rolling a little bit. So that's been really fun. And then just doing what I love to do, which is following doctors around. I found a doctor that I really like to work with, and he's kind of teaching me, you know, every week. So I just love continue learning, you know, and that's wonderful. I think that's something I want to do right now.
That's fantastic. What do you wish I had asked you?
I think one thing is what scares me going into medical school. I think, you know, you get there and you get the acceptance, but then you're like, wow, like, you know, I'm actually going to start this journey. And for me, it's just, you know, you have to develop a new routine. It's not going to be like undergrad. You're not going to be able to coast by with, oh, I got to cram everything in last night. You really have to set yourself up for success from the beginning. So I think I'm a little nervous about that, but, you know, I think that's normal.
It is normal. And I think you're smart to recognize that the time demands and the study demands. I think everybody's told me, I've never been to medical school, that it really takes a different kind of studying, a different kind of discipline. But do you have any concerns like about the emotional demands of medical school? I mean, you're going to be dealing with critically ill people and the outcomes aren't always what you hope for.
Absolutely. I read an article a couple of weeks ago about someone wrote an actual paper on delivering bad news. And I was reading and I was just like, well, this is so scientific. But then you realize like the weight of what's carried on physicians' shoulders and what you actually have to do. Yeah, the reality of it is crazy. And the truth be told, you have to be prepared for that because it's going to happen. And so I think it's just realizing and remembering that you're doing this for a reason. You've worked your life to do this. And I think that's something that you get the unique privilege and burden of doing at the same time, and that it should be dealt with in a very respectful way. And you'll be ready when the time comes, I think, in my mind, hopefully.
Yeah. I've mentioned a few times on the show that my daughter is a child life specialist. And she also volunteers a lot with sick children. Okay. And she became quite close with one little girl who seemed to be doing quite well at the time. And she had, I think, brain cancer. And unfortunately, the little girl relapsed and her condition just declined over about a year or two. And ultimately, she passed away. And my daughter was devastated. This was before she was actually certified as a child life specialist. She was devastated. And she'd gotten close to the parents and the child. I was really wondering if she was going to continue down this path. You know, but she didn't, she just continued. I was speaking with a mentor of hers, and she said that she also had the same concern that I did, a woman about my own age, And one day she was talking to our daughter, and our daughter just said, you know, I helped that child. I was there for her. And that made it all worthwhile. And that probably has to be the perspective that a doctor, I mean, she's not a doctor, she's a child life specialist, that a doctor takes. But I was really proud of her. And she is today a child life specialist. She's been for now for 10 years, volunteers constantly with sick children. So anyway, I hope that bit of wisdom may help you because it's inevitable and in your field. Any last bits of wisdom or advice for pre-meds?
I think the biggest, well, actually, I have so many, honestly, just based on what I've learned. I've met so many people just throughout this journey that are so determined, just get through undergrad, go right to med school, or, you know, taking 3 years off is going to be detrimental. I have to say that the year that I didn't get in was probably the best year of my entire life. And for so many reasons. First of all, it really, really made me sit down and think, you know, like, I think a lot of people are just like, you know, we get into college, we do this, and we're just so used to like getting what we want. And I think that was a kick in my butt a little bit. And just really, I got to sit and determine, is this really what I want to do? And that kind of ignited the fire for me more than anything ever had. And then the maturity aspect, I feel like I just had the chance to really reflect on myself. And I think I'm going to be a better physician because of that. So I really urge people that are kind of on the fence and are being like, you know, parents are like, you know, you need to go. Just take your time. And the straight path is not always the best one you should travel, right? You got to go through some obstacles. And I really think that helped me a lot. So that's the first thing. I think another thing is just, I've seen, like, I guess social media and there's all these forums out there that enable everyone to panic about things and blow things out of proportion. You know, I think people are set on, you know, I need a perfect MCAT score. I need a perfect GPA. I need to cure cancer to get in. And that's just totally not true. I think when medical schools say they're holistic, I really believe that. And I think as long as you can show a continued commitment and that you're doing something to improve yourself, it's going to happen for you. It's just a matter of when. And people have all these anxieties about, I failed Gen Chem. I'm not going to be able to get in. That's just not true. And, you know, you just got to keep working towards what you want in life, and eventually it will happen.
I talked recently to somebody who was very disappointed in the advice that I gave her. I recommended that she take several steps, most of which were the ones that you took. Improve your, you know, take some more classes and get A's in them, improve your MCAT. I think I had some also recommendations in terms of her experience, because I felt that her experience in certain areas was weak. Mm-hmm. And she was quite disappointed in the recommendation. And I said, look, I'm telling you can do this. Right. I'm not telling you can't. I'm telling you can do this. I just think that you will optimize your chances of acceptance if you take these steps. I still think she was disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I can understand, because she was like, I want to do it. But sometimes taking a little bit of a longer route can be the better route. In terms of your point about not going straight from college to medical school, I think at this point, about 50% of medical students don't go straight through. Right. That's very different from, let's say, 20 years ago when I started my, you know, 25 years ago when I started this business. Mm. There's growing acceptance of the gap years. And I actually was recently talking to Jennifer Welch, who's the admissions dean at SUNY Upstate. And she said she doesn't like the term gap year. And she recommends the term growth year, which I think is much better.
I think that's much better too.
It's not just like you're taking off and sitting on the beach, right?
Right.
I think we're running out of time. Thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed speaking with you. And thank you for sharing your experience and your perspective.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Zach. We're going to link from the show notes at accepted.com/361 to Zach's Facebook page, as well as to other related resources at Accepted. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 361st episode. If you found this show worthwhile, please make sure you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have lots of different podcatcher options, and I'm sure you know where to subscribe in your own favorite podcatcher. You can find links in the show notes at accepted.com/361. Oh yes, quick reminder to register for our upcoming webinar, Create a Winning MCAS Application, which you can do at accepted.com/361webinar or from the show notes at accepted.com/361. This is Admissions Trade Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.